I've been all across this country. Okie dokie, folks. This is Kyle Shaw, a.k.a. the Canadian Goose. You're listening to Monday Night Shaw on the Backbreaker Media Network. And on the show today, I have one of the breakout stars of RCW in 2020. It is the Miracle Man himself, all the way from Calgary, Alberta. Skylar Gray, how you doing, brother?
Well, not too bad. Yourself?
I'm pretty good, man. I appreciate the retake. I just wanted to let... I'm going to be straight up with folks here. I don't know what was going on with me, but we had to record this again because the last one was just so scatterbrained and weird. So let's not start off on that note. Skylar, you've been with RCW now for how long? How long have you been with the company?
Oh, just under a year.
Just under a year? Okay, cool. So why don't you give us a little bit of a background about just like who you are and what you're all about and whatnot?
I'm a 35-year-old, married, live here in Calgary. I've been a cook for the last 19 years? No, almost 15 years. 15 years. I got back into wrestling last year and love it. I was a wrestler when I was 19, and I had to stop due to multiple concussions.
That's a bummer.
Yeah. They're never fun, you know. No, concussions are always just rough.
Of course. And, like, so I'll ask you about that again because, like, we did touch on that on the first recording. But, like, why don't you give us an idea how you were getting these concussions and whatnot? And was this stupid. All at wrestling training? Like, you told me a story about you guys were being goofballs on the bus trying to jump over seats and stuff. And you ended up, like, tripping and smashing your head or something.
Yeah.
And then, so there was a number of incidents like that, apparently. And then you ended up joining up at wrestling school. Where did you go to train to wrestle for your first?
I trained in this, what would you call it? It was storage unit, I guess.
They didn't have a name for, like, the wrestling class or whatever?
It was run by these guys who ran a promotion, TWF in Gatineau. And it literally stood for the Wrestling Federation. And I was like, that's pretty plain. But they ran this out of this storage unit and started getting quite a few people, but it wasn't the best run place.
No. And were these guys on the up and up? Did they know what they were doing, like, at all?
First, like, some stuff, it seemed like, you know, they knew what they were doing for some moves, but there's other ones that they showed me that, you know, completely wrong.
Yeah. So when you were training with these guys, like, no, is this as anyone we've ever heard of or anything? Like,
I don't know if you've heard of them. They're from Gatineau, Quebec. They're called the Jokers Wild. They're a tag team. They dress up like clowns and or like court jesters, essentially, and yeah, that's kind of their shtick.
Okay, so but it's not like they went on to become like Kevin Owens or anything like that.
No. Like I had no idea. Like I even looked up. Like it was a couple of months ago. I was like, I wonder if these guys are still, you know, running their promotion, because if I'm ever back home, you never know, just maybe I could go to a show and, you know, make an appearance.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
But I can't even find anything about their website or anything.
Okay, so you did a little bit of training with them, and then did you get concussions while you were actually training to wrestle as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so quite a few.
Oh, that's not good. Were they diagnosed concussions?
Yeah, and like, then like I started having seizures, so I immediately stopped wrestling, so I didn't want to hurt anyone. I didn't want to pop a seizure in the ring.
No.
But, you know, I've gone 15 years now without one, so I feel it was just I needed to give my body some time off.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you're doing better and stuff. Have you had any concussions since you got back into it?
No.
Well, that's...
That's like my number one goal is always protecting my head.
Well, that's a very important goal, a good one to have too. Don't let anybody like hit you with anything in the head. That's always bad.
No, absolutely. I'm not taking like any unprotected chair shots at all.
Yeah, I did that once. It was bad. It was not a good
scene. Yeah.
It wasn't even so much one... like I don't need to talk about it because we've talked about it before on the podcast, but yeah.
Oh, you got really beamed.
Well, it just turned into a whole situation. Like, and yeah. Admittedly, it was dumb. The whole thing shouldn't have gone down, but it just was one of those things where, it happened, but I survived. I lived. I'm here to tell my story, and I'm still wrestling today. So, but
that's it.
I also learned that, I don't like it when people hit me with things in the head. So I'm not going to let them do that anymore.
If I'm getting hit in the head, I'd like it to be with a pillow. Thank you.
100%. So, you have been down at the, Alberta Wrestling Academy training to wrestle. Were you 15 years ago or whatever? That's, when you said you wrestled before, right? 15 years ago. And did you end up doing any matches with those guys out in Gatton?
I had one match and it was pretty bad.
Yeah. Okay. So, but it was an official match in front of people and stuff.
But if you can call it that, I think there was a smatter of people.
Okay. Cool. So, who did you wrestle and what happened?
I literally wouldn't even be able to tell you the guy's name. I remember his name was Phil.
Okay.
And we just had this.
Now, making his way to the ring, he weighs in at 194 pounds, and he hails from Gunville, Quebec. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Phil!
Phil! I can't remember his name that he used. I think him and his... There was three or four of the guys.
It was CM Punk.
I wish. But yeah, they all came in. I think they called themselves the DeVille brothers or something.
Phil DeVille.
And there was four of them. But...
Phil DeVille is actually a pretty good wrestling name.
Yeah, that's not too bad, eh? Yeah. But we had this list of moves to do, and because that was a test or whatever for the level we were at in our training, and it was basically mostly chain wrestling moves. Okay. And it was ridiculous because they gave us 10 minutes for the match, and after 2.5 minutes we were done. That list, we smoked it and done it almost twice.
So they gave you a list of moves to do and said go out to the ring and do these moves and fill 10 minutes.
And they didn't say we couldn't do any more, but they were just you have to hit these moves in the match. And I was okay, sure.
Did they give you any 2.5 minutes?
We were lost.
Did they give you any kind of structure though? Did they say, okay, you're the baby face and you're the heel, and maybe plan a cut off around this, or make sure when you're doing your comeback, your double down, was there any of that thought put into it? Or was it literally here's a list, arm drag, hip toss, arm bar, body slam, arm bar, suplex, arm bar. Was that the type of thing? They just gave you a
that's
list
exactly
of
exactly what it was.
Oh my God.
That it was just okay, we're done.
And it was how many matches had Phil had at that point?
That was both of our first match because we were both in the training.
Okay. It sounds like you, no offense, but it sounds like backyard wrestling or something,
Oh God, it was close enough, man. It might as well have been backyard wrestling because there wasn't enough people there to really call it a wrestling show.
Oh, okay. So you went and you did this horrible match with Phil, and then eventually you were at RCW shows and just ended up getting back into it?
Yeah, yeah. A buddy of mine here in town, he used to work with D. Dwight Davis.
Oh, okay.
So he was like, yo, you got to come to these wrestling shows. My buddy wrestles. And I'm like, dude, man, your buddy's really good. And I was like, hook me up with him because I got to get back into wrestling. Took a couple of years, but I kept, pecking away at people at RCW shows, like Dwight and Jordan Aries and you and Slammer. Slammer was really good. I talked to Slammer so many times.
Slammer's awesome.
He is. He's such a nice guy.
Have you wrestled Slammer?
And sorry?
Have you wrestled with Slammer?
Well, at the training center, we've done some stuff. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. No, I've been in some matches with him, but it's always been like tag team matches or multi-man like matches and stuff like that. I've never had a one-on-one match with him, which I probably should be grateful for because I think he would destroy me. but you never know. It's wrestling, so anything can happen, right? But
that's right.
I've really liked being in the ring with Slammer because, you know, it just seems like the whole energy of the house goes up, and I'm always like, I know if I'm going to have a match with Slammer, it's probably going to be pretty good.
Oh, look, Slammer, geez, I can't tell you how many times his match was my favorite on the card last year. Like, multiple times.
Yeah, we had a really good one. It was me versus Slammer versus D. Dwight Davis versus Jordan Aries versus Tyson Hiller. And it was like a five-way scramble match. And it was on the same show where The Godfather wrestled. So there was like 400 people there. And it was deadly. Like, that match was awesome. And anybody that has access to the footage should go check that out, because that was definitely one of my favorite matches of my career, for sure.
Oh, definitely check that out.
Yeah, it was cool. Me and Tyson, we had tag teamed a couple times before that, so we had that sort of story going. And then Slammer was high off his big return, right? And he was just a monster destroying guys. D. Dwight Davis was kind of like the cowardly, chicken shit heel. And then you got the plucky Jordan Aries and Tyson Hiller out there too. And then the underdog Canadian Goose, right? So,
yeah. Oh, I love Jordan Aries.
Oh, yeah. We did some good stuff that night. Me and Tyson hit this, it was a sick double team move on Jordan. Like, me and we had all just beaten up D. Dwight and got him out of the ring. And me and Jordan, like, hugged to celebrate. And then I grabbed him and put him in the Sister Abigail. And Tyson Hiller hit him with a big super kick. And I gave him the move. And that was pretty sweet. And I busted off there was one point where D. Dwight Davis was getting like ping pong between a couple of guys. They were like punching him, right? He'd walk over to Hiller, and Hiller would hit him. And then he'd walk over to Jordan, and Jordan would hit him. And then he'd walk over to, back over to Tyson, and Tyson would hit him again.
Love those moments.
And then he walked over to me, and I give him a big headbutt and start honking, and the whole crowd start honking, and like, it was nuts. And then Jordan picked him up. He was like, give him another headbutt. So I gave him another headbutt. And then they all went off honking again. And then, I believe that's the point where Bryce the Slammer Sova just ended up beating us all up. He gave me a big follow-away slam. He ended up double Samoan dropping me and Tyson Hiller. Like, at the same time, we were both, like, stacked on his shoulders. Yeah, it was pretty crazy. Yeah. He did another one.
He's got some power.
Oh, Slammer's strong as a fuck, man. He not only did that one, but we had another match later on. It was me versus Slammer versus Tony Machete. And he ended up giving me and Tony Machete a double F5. So he F5'd the two of us at the same time. And I'm not like a small dude. And Tony Machete, he's in incredible shape. He's not small, but he's like Tony Machete is beefy. Like,
yeah.
He's jacked. His muscles, like, he's a skinny dude, but he's got muscles that are like big and heavy, you know?
Yeah.
So the fact that Slammer was able to pick us both up and give us a double F5 at the same time is like mad props to Slammer.
Well, that's no small feat. Yeah. That is definitely no small feat.
Uh-huh. So you went on and how did you join up with the Alberta Wrestling Academy just through Dwight? Did you end up talking to him, or who got you hooked up with the Alberta Wrestling Academy?
Matt Hart actually did, because we have a common friend, and I was like, dude, you gotta get Matt Hart to give me a message, because I'm like trying to get a hold of him about going to this like wrestling gym that I've been seeing.
Okay.
And I saw that he was working out there, and I was like, yeah, man, like, can you like hook me up with, you know, just coming down and check it out? And I did. I went down and I started bumping, and Steven Styles was there, and he just, like, I guess he instantly saw some good talent in me. So that was really cool. And then I got started there and I've been going ever since.
Solid. Did you put any, were you at the Workhorse Fitness Performance Center before?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I was at Workhorse. Like, that's where I met all these people. And then they branched off and did their own thing at AWA. And I went to AWA because that's where Bruce Hart went. No, I really wanted to stay with Bruce Hart.
Okay, so was it, like, I mean, I don't really know. I know there was, like, a falling out between the people that were running the place. I don't really know many of the details involved in that. I had Vinny Fever on here. It's not really important. But I just, like, I am curious to know, like, from the perspective of a student, were you given the opportunity to stay at the Workhorse or to change to AWA? Or was that pretty much just, like, a no-brainer for you?
I can still go there if I want, because I paid them for it. So he said if I want to go back, but I don't, because like Bruce Hart isn't there. Like, you know, they might have really good trainers there. I personally don't know. I haven't even really looked at their website for a long time or their Facebook page. But I wanted to stay with Bruce Hart and Otto. Otto's really, really good. It's a good coach, Vinny Fever there. He's just, yeah, he's a great coach and he's a good friend, and just want to stick it out because I really respect him and he's going to teach me a whole lot of stuff that I want to know.
Okay, solid. So, yeah, so it wasn't a situation where, like, you guys, that's, like, I'm just trying to put it into words here. Like, they weren't like, oh, if you don't want it, we'll, they weren't like understanding and like, oh, you're gonna go to them instead of stay here with us, and they weren't cool about that and give you your money back.
No, well, yeah, they weren't gonna do that, even though they pressured me to give my money, but that's a different story. It's just the guy who, like, used to own it, I guess, he supposedly doesn't even own it now, is just not a very good person. I'm not even gonna bother speaking his name because most people probably know it, but yeah, he pressured me to give him the money, like all of it right away, even though I was still kind of not sure I wanted to wrestle. Mm-hmm. You know, and then when the whole falling out thing happened, I'm like, okay, well, I'm leaving, because basically everything that you promised in your like, they had like this email package they send you or whatever, mm-hmm, with all the things that they promise you, like all these trainers, like if they hadn't been there at all, like they were leaving, so like there was no point in me staying, essentially.
Okay, gotcha. All right. Once you got over to AWA, though, like, I'm sure all that's behind you now. Nobody's, like, worried about that. Oh. You guys are all just trying to train and wrestle and whatnot. When you...
No, it's beautiful.
I haven't been to the... I went down and trained a couple of times at the Workhorse place, and I thought their facility was fantastic. Like, they had like two like really nice rings and stuff. The Workhorse people did. There was a couple of like odd things about the rings, like the one corner where there's like these really like thick parts of the ropes. I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to hit the ropes right there because that looks like it would hurt, you know?
Oh, in the corner where it was like really thick there?
Yeah.
Yeah, that hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, they had like a really top-notch facility. I haven't been to the Alberta Wrestling Academy. Sorry, it's not the Alberta Workhorse Academy. That's like if they had a baby or whatever. I haven't been to that one yet, but I know that like when I was at Workhorse, Vinny Fever was there, and like I say, like his training was really like, I learned some stuff from him that was cool. You know, how to chop guys and that kind of stuff. Can you just describe like what a typical day at your is Alberta Wrestling Academy, is it open right now? Like we're recording this on Valentine's Day, February the 14th, so like the restrictions have sort of kind of lifted, have they started going back yet, or is it still
the laws aren't allowing any more than it's like one-on-one trainer. So, and like the trainer has to be like 100% certified, and like not everyone there is like a 100% certified trainer, even though they should be.
So there's like logistical also, reasons, it's and it's like, it's just not back.
You can't wrestle. Like,
okay.
You really can't wrestle because essentially it would have to be you wrestle your coach, but then they have to go and wrestle another person and another person. So it's not productive to keeping restrictions, you know?
Yeah. Well, while it was in session and like when wrestling, like when training is actually on, can you just like describe for the folks that are listening, like if anybody wants to go down there and check it out, like what does a typical day at the Alberta Wrestling Academy look like?
Oh, well, you come in, you know, you say hi, you know, say hi to everyone. Like I'm usually one of the first ones there, or like, well, when I was working, I was one of the last ones there, but I lost my job and eventually just started going to the gym religiously. But, yeah, like you just show up, say hi, get changed, you'd get your water and whatnot and start stretching, warming up. And, then we'd have like a little warm up session before class. And, then we get started, go through our drills. One, we'd take like a move, do it one at a time, one each, you know, and then after everyone takes one, switch it to the next person in line.
Okay,
you know,
so
keep
like
going in a chain.
So when your warm ups and stuff, is that like you guys just like, you know, do some squats and push ups and sit ups?
Yeah.
And then maybe.
Yeah, like, and then like a little bit of stretching, you know, and
shuffle
things
around
like that.
The rings and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, do some front rolls, back rolls, Superman rolls, you know, do some practice bumps too, you know, like you got to do your four get up bumps, you know, you do all your four sides, and then you got to do some flip bumps and stuff. We don't normally do face bumps because it's just like, they're not the most common taken bump, but a lot of people need to work on it because it is a hard bump to take, but we don't
face
do
bump,
them as
like
often.
That's the front bump where you land on your face, right?
Yeah,
like,
land face down.
Okay.
Yeah.
The face bump is, yeah, sometimes the front bump is like, if somebody says front bump to me, there's two things I consider. One is the face bump where you fall and you land on your face, and the other is flip bump where you would jump in the air, flip over and land on your back, right?
Yeah, like I found that I've come out here and a lot of people call a front bump a flip bump, which is what I'm used to calling it, is the flip bump.
Yeah, I think the flip bump is a more accurate description because then it's just
yeah, like it's less confusing, you know.
Yeah.
When they're like take a front bump. I'm like, okay. The first time someone did that, I did a face bump. They're like, no front bump. I was like, what's a front bump?
Yeah. Okay. So you guys
flip bump. Okay. Cool. Boom.
So you typically would get in, stretch, do some squats, push-ups, sit-ups, a little bit of like shuffling and rolling, that kind of stuff, and then you guys sort of like just learn moves and stuff, like get in a line and then everybody gives everybody a body slam or that sort of thing?
Well, yeah, like we'll all, you know, take turns taking and giving, and then once we've gone through all of that, there'll be like, we'll talk about, you know, like psychology sometimes, or one time we did this really great lesson and I really enjoyed with Steve Wild that he wanted to show us how it is, like, say if you go to a country where you don't know the language,
okay,
and you go to wrestle someone who you don't know what you're saying to each other, like it's just the body language he was showing us, you know, like the body language for giving a back body drop or a hip toss or an arm drag.
Oh yeah,
that was a really fun lesson.
That's an important lesson too, brother. I will tell
Very
you, I had a match once where it was the planned finish. It was me and Dead Zone versus Vince Austin and Dante, the crazy wizard. And anyway, at the end, there was supposed to be like a move where Dead Zone comes in and he breaks it up and whatnot and gets out. But I guess he ended up missing his cue and he was just out on the floor. And I was like standing there behind this guy. And I just like at a certain point was like, okay, well, I can't wait for him anymore because he's not coming back in. And I'm looking like an idiot just standing here. Right. So I clobbered Dante from behind, just clobbered him with a big double axe handle in the back, right? And he went down. And then I gave the old signal to Vince Lawson. I gave him a tap on my bicep there, you know, a couple of slaps, and ran at him and gave him a big clothesline. And I was like, you know, basically saying, I'm going to run at you and clothesline you now. Without verbally explaining that, like, that's just one of those little things that you were saying, like, if you were in another country, like, that would be just exponentially increased. And, like, Steve Wells.
Oh, yeah, it would be like, that's all you'd be able to do is kind of ease into it, you know, like you can't really communicate.
Yeah, I mean, definitely a lot of wrestling, like, from what I hear, like, if you go to Japan, it's a lot of the wrestling moves and stuff are all basically named the same thing. So, like, if you say, like, armbar in Japan, they know what you're talking about type thing. You know what I mean?
Like they, yeah.
Or, you know, brainbuster is a suplex or whatever. But, you know, it's not like you're, you know, if you go to Mexico, then it's like Laje Mascregal or, you know, they have much more complicated names for some of the moves and stuff. So,
their wrestling system is so different sometimes, like, the way they do different, like,
Mexican wrestling,
you know.
Well, yeah, it's all typically in wrestling in America and stuff, just for the listeners that don't actually know this, most of the wrestlers will, you know, when you're put beaten down on a guy's body parts and stuff, their arms and legs, you typically always beat up on their left arm or their left leg.
Yeah.
In Mexico, it's the complete opposite, and they always do it on the right. So I can imagine that would be like a weird experience to go to Mexico and then suddenly have to take arm drags on the other side and stuff, you know?
Yeah, like it would be just a complete mindfuck, you know?
Yeah.
I think I'd probably be able to get used to it, you know, eventually, but like the first few, I'd be like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, it is weird. Like, I mean, I even do, like, I have a move in my arsenal where I run and I jump off. I hit the middle rope and I jump off the middle rope and give the guy an arm drag, right? But this is, like, one that Heavy Metal taught me, and he learned it in Mexico. So it's taught, like, I do it off the right arm. It's weird.
Like, springboard arm drag there,
yeah,
you do?
You run and you jump onto the middle rope, and then you jump off the middle rope, and you give the guy an arm drag. Mm-hmm. It looks really dope, but some guys are like weirded out because I explain it to them how it has to work, right? And then they're like, "Oh, you do it on the right side," and I'm just like, "Yeah, it's just the way I learned how to do it." So, just one.
It is weird.
So after
I could definitely say like another thing like that. When I learned originally as a 19-year-old, suplexes, we would pick up on the right side.
Really?
Yeah. Over there would be right side. They did everything right-handed there, and they'd always like try to, you know, beat it into me to do everything right-handed. They even tried to get me to right-hand punch, and I'm like, I want to look like I can punch, not, you know.
Are you left-handed?
If I'm punching with my right hand, it's because I broke my left one.
Oh, I didn't know you were left-handed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. See, because that would change it, because I'm right-handed, right? So, wrestling's kind of like one of those weird little things like that, though. Like, you got to learn. Like, I can't believe those guys are teaching you how to suplex guys on the wrong side. That's weird. That happened to me one time in a match, though. I was wrestling in a tag team match again. I think it might have even been the same one I was just talking about with Dead Zone and those guys. But Dante kicked me in the gut, bent me over, and he hooked me in a suplex, and I was like, this is kind of weird. And then I realized, as I was jumping, I was like, oh, I'm on the wrong side here. Like, yeah, and then afterwards he came to me. He's like, "Did I suplex you in the wrong side?" I was like, "Yeah." It's like, "Oh," and I was like, "Yeah, it wasn't a big deal. It was fine." Yeah, like Vince Austin, I think, is the one that pointed it out. But yeah, it was just like as soon as it happened, I was like, "This is a little weird," you know.
Yeah, nothing to, you know, take your game off, you know, a little bit. You're like, "Wait, what? Huh?"
Yeah. But then, you know, then it just happens and you go on to the next thing. Because, like, while you're out there, things are going so fast. Like you said earlier, like, you were given a list of 20 moves and 10 minutes to do them, and you burned through them in 2 minutes, right? Like,
yeah, like we'd literally have to milk an arm drag for almost like 5 minutes to be able to get that match going, you know?
And I mean, like, honestly, like, I think the biggest lesson you probably learned there was just like the one of the most tried and true ones that's every wrestler trainer is always trying to embed in his students, and that's you know, if you think you're going too slow, slow down, and you're probably going just a little bit too fast, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, take your time, because like there's no reason, like you say, like if you're decent and good at chain wrestling, like some people are really good at it, right? So they can actually take you over, give you an arm drag or whatever, and then hold you an arm bar and make it look like convincing and entertaining and hold on to it for a minute.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or 2 minutes, and like it looks legit and it's great and stuff, but like, you know, in your like a greenhorn guy and you're trying to get through your 20 moves or whatever, then yeah, I can imagine, like, just
you don't know, you just you hit that arm drag and you just go to the next move, you're like, arm drag, okay, boom, I hit the arm drag and hit you the hip toss right afterwards. Like, you don't milk that arm drag, you know?
Yeah, you don't let anything, like, the fans are just like, it's got to be confusing to the fans too, because like they don't have time to be like, oh, he just did a hip toss, oh, because like you're already into the next thing, you know? I think that's,
well, like, I think, like, really must have sucked for the fans that day was they were all getting the exact same match. It's not like every other match that the students had. They gave them different moves. We all had the same moves, and it was like legit. Every guy had the same result where, like, they just middle of the match died. They're like, frozen, you know?
Oh no, this sounds like such a disaster to me. Like, these guys didn't give you any guidance, like, whatsoever. Like, that's
not a whole lot.
Yeah, like, I would just, like, I don't know, if somebody had, like, I think now at this point in my career, like, I've had, like, I think 60 or 70 matches, right? So yeah, if somebody handed me a list of 20 moves and said, go, you know, fill 10 minutes, I think I could probably figure out how to do it, you know? And it would, like, depend who,
like,
is wrestling.
Nowadays, like, I'd be able to do better because, like, yeah. I've also, like, I've had the 15 years off. It's not like I didn't watch wrestling. I studied, you know?
Yeah.
I've been watching it forever, and, you know, like, I could probably do it nowadays, but that day, like, then I was so gung-ho, you know? Yeah. I was just like, go, 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 go. All about the spots.
100%. And, I don't know if that's just, like, a thing, like, and don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to put myself over as any kind of, like, mat tactician or psychological genius or anything, but, like, I'd be like, okay, these are the 20 moves they gave me, but what else can we do that's just gonna, like, eat time and, like, maybe create, like, moments of, like, comedy or levity, or just establish, like, what the characters are, that sort of stuff. Like, you know, you've got a small little guy and the big guy comes at him and he just runs under and, you know, avoids getting grappled or whatever. Like, you could do that a couple of times, like, that sort of thing, right?
Yeah, like, I was able to at least know.
But it sounds like y'all just locked up, went into chain wrestling, exhausted all your moves, and then we're like, what the fuck do we do now? And then nobody knew what to do.
I just beat the hell out of him. I was like, okay, suplex. Okay, body slam. Okay, this suplex. Okay, this suplex. Okay, back drop. Okay, now I'm going to, like, take a rest and, like, hold you in a submission. And, like, I'm like, okay, now I'm going to, like, do this, and do this. And, like, you just, like, okay, 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 okay. I'm like, okay, I feel now we're close to 10 minutes, so we're going to start getting you to, like, beat me up so you can win. And that's the only thing that I knew how to do at that point. I was ring psychology.
Wow. It doesn't sound like they explained any ring psychology to you at all. Like,
none whatsoever. They're like, okay, so their explanation of learn ring psychology was watch Bret Hart and Jake the Snake matches.
Oh my lord. Okay.
Which, don't get me wrong, I learned some really
absolutely
good stuff.
Like, Bret the Hitman Hart and Jake the Snake are both great, but, like, they're not the ones you're paying to train you to wrestle, you know?
Exactly. It's like, so basically I could have done all this at home for free. All right, good, cool, thanks, bye.
Yeah, well, I mean, at least, you know, now you got Bruce there. Like,
oh, Bruce,
if you had
a
question about one of Brett's matches, I'm sure you could just be like, hey, Bruce, why would Brett do this during his matches or whatever?
Exactly.
Is that a thing that happens to people, like, where you're in class? Do they ask Bruce about Bret Hart's stuff?
We tend to not talk about Bret too much because, like, I'm pretty sure there's a little bad blood between them.
Oh, okay. Or see,
maybe it kind of seems like he doesn't want to talk about him as much, or just maybe I don't know. But like, I try not to as much as possible.
Yeah, like that's a thing. Like, I would be like, I'm just asking you because I don't know. Because I know that me personally, I would avoid asking Bruce about Bret just because, like, I don't know if they're on good terms or whatever, right? And if they weren't, I wouldn't want to get like the earful, like, you know.
Oh, like. And the worst was one day, I forget which student it was, but we were like sitting there talking to him, and he brought up the Montreal Screwjob, and I was just like, "Ooh, this is like treading some dangerous ground here, especially since I'm a huge HBK fan." Okay. but like, he asked him if he thought it was a work, and I was like, "Oh, you don't ask that." I was like, "I want to know the answer, so I'm not going to leave."
What did Bruce say?
You don't ask that.
Did the student get stretched?
No, he didn't. Like, he was surprisingly really calm about it. You know, he like talked about how stupid it was on Vince's part, you know, but like he was surprisingly really calm about it. And I was just like, that was a little, you know, not as epic as I thought it would be. It was like a little underwhelming.
Wasn't well, I mean, yeah. Yeah, it's just weird. Like, if you were gonna ask anyone, like, and Bruce was there, like, he might have an insight. Like, you would think, like, okay, Bret definitely wouldn't answer that. Like, you know, if it was a work, he would probably deny it. You know, at this point in his career, where he's been denying it for 20 years, and who are you, and why would he change his story for you? You know,
exactly. You know.
You know. But yeah, that's an interesting view there. So, actually, debuting in RCW, when did that happen for you, and who did you end up wrestling, and what's the situation there?
My first match was in a 6-man tag. I was teaming up with The Virus, another one of the students at the AWA, and. Or Big Bruce, I guess, is what they call
him. Oh, I've wrestled him. Yeah,
the
Bruce.
Oh, yeah, he's fun. He actually goes to the gym. He's kind of one of our trainers. You know, like he's like that knowledgeable guy. You know, that really is good at putting his knowledge in, and you know, giving us advice.
Yeah, I had a fun match against Bruce. Bruce is he's like a little person, as they say, or in wrestling, I guess they just don't consider it racist or whatever to call them midgets. So Bruce is just kind of pretty much Big Bruce the Midget. And I had a match against him, and it was fun. I worked most of that match on my knees. the whole match, pretty much. Bruce, like, took out my knee at the start.
Okay.
And then we ended up working the whole match. Like, I did, like, the hot comeback on him and everything from my knees, body slammed him from my knees. You know, I tried to, like, get up to my feet, but, like, my knee was too hurt because Bruce had, you know, worked it over for a while. It was a fun little match. I enjoyed. So you had a match against, it was a 6-man tag, and did you end up winning or losing, or how did it go?
Oh, I just got squashed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we were wrestling Steven Styles, Steve Wilde, and Kenny Johnson.
Okay.
And they beat the tar out of us.
I've wrestled all those guys. I haven't. The only guy that I haven't wrestled in that match would be you and Virus. I haven't been in the ring with you or Virus. Virus, actually, you guys and I might have all been in a battle royal together, but I doubt that I don't think we ever touched.
Yeah, I didn't make it very far in that one. I kind of gassed myself really, really bad.
You were in a battle royal in an RCW?
Yeah. Yeah, I was wrestling Plastic Pants. Jordan Aries. And there was a spot where I was smashing his head into the turnbuckles. And, like, I guess I went really hard on it because it just blew me up. And then I think it was...
See, that's weird to me because, like, Battle Royal would be, like... I'm thinking, like, how would you get blown up in a Battle Royal? Because, like, you don't usually have to do a lot of running, you know?
Like, well, I also came out, like, a bat out of hell. I was, like, super excited, and I went after, like, everyone. I went after KB6. I went after this other guy that was in there. I don't even remember. I think it was AJ Sanchez. I'm not 100% sure, though.
Okay.
Yeah, then Coda came in and just started whipping the crap out of me. So I sat in the corner and sat there a little more. And then finally Bruce came out and started kicking the crap out of me in the corner. And I just was sitting there like Steven Styles had just beaten the tar out of the virus in the other corner. And he comes over and starts chopping me. And I was like, just throw me out. I can't even stand up. So he throws me out. And, I lie on the ground there for about 5 minutes. And Otto comes over and he's just like, are you okay there, man? I was just like, yeah, I was catching my breath until I can get up. And then I don't want to now. I'm so pretty out
of shape. Have you won any matches so far?
Not yet. No.
So you were in that. You were in the 6-man tag, and then you had the battle royal, and you were in another. Have you had any 1-on-1 matches?
Yeah, me and Coda.
Oh, okay. And I imagine, yeah, he probably beat you handedly, eh?
Yeah, he beat me pretty good. But it was a good match though. We had a good time. You know, I got some offense in that match, which up to that point I'd gotten like a few punches and that, but like no actual offense. And then I sidewalk slammed this big freaking 6'5" guy, and it was pretty sweet.
That's awesome, dude. Yeah, I remember. I remember, like, because like it took me like a year before I got a win, and like. There was a long time where it was like people would ask me, what's your finishing move? And I'd be like, what do you mean? Like getting pinned? I don't know. Like,
I got to win a match first.
Yeah. I get put in a submission hold and then I tap out. Yeah. I start smacking the guy on his own leg.
What's my finisher? I'm face down on the mat. That's pretty much it.
So what are your like ambitions? Like what do you want to achieve out of wrestling? Like let's just say in like the next year or so. Like are you looking to, you know, go on to like greener pastures and be in bigger federations than RCW, or are you just looking to, you know, establish yourself in RCW and you know, possibly maybe get into contention for some championships and just slow burn yourself into some storylines, or what's your hopes for the future? Do you have any goals?
Well, yeah, right now I'm just my ultimate goal is to get back into training.
Yeah, for sure.
That's the thing I miss the most, right? But I'm just taking it easy. I'm not like another reason I didn't have a really great time with wrestling when I was 19 was because I put so much expectations on myself. Like I was like, you're gonna be the next freaking WWE champion, you're gonna be the next Triple H, man, you're gonna be like so awesome, dude. And like, and then when I screwed up, I hated myself, you know. And this time I'm just going into it with I just want to have fun, and that's it. I want to wrestle, and I do ultimately want to run a promotion someday, but that's like the dream for me.
You want to run a promotion?
Yeah, I do.
You want to be like a wrestling promoter, eh?
Yeah.
Is that like have you looked into how you would go about doing that?
Well, a little bit, yeah. And then I've been talking with my coaches, and they want to, you know, help me facilitate that. And they, you know, introduced me to Steven Styles, and he showed me a lot of stuff. And you know, I'm just learning everything I possibly can, and it's a lot to learn.
It's so one of those things where it's like, I love wrestling, and I've been a referee, a ring announcer, a sound guy, a wrestler, yeah. You know, a ringside manager. Like I've played all those roles on various wrestling shows over the years. I've helped try to get buildings and stuff, but I've never been like responsible for the promoting, and I don't know that that's something I'd really like to do, because like it sounds like a really, like, for all, like, everybody, like, you know, sometimes people like to bag on Squig or whatever, but for all of his faults or whatnot, the guy is doing a job that's like thankless, right? Like,
yeah, absolutely, 100%. Like, anyone who is a promoter is like, they're so underappreciated for like how much hard work that they actually put into their, you know, into their pride and joy, which is their promotion, you know.
100%.
Like, it's such a crazy job, and like I can't even imagine how crazy it would be for someone like Vince McMahon, say, with like the biggest promotion in the world, right?
Yeah,
but like I would love to do that, you know. It's manager mode was always like my favorite in SmackDown. Like,
have you talked at all to Dylan Stone about that? Any of that stuff?
No, not yet. No.
He promoted the CWC for a while in Red Deer, and they had some very good numbers and stuff at their shows as well. So definitely,
well, I like Dylan. Like, we have a good rapport every time he's come to an RCW show. We always have a good chat. You know,
gives me
lots of good advice.
Have you ever talked to any of the other wrestling promoters around Alberta, maybe like Kurt Schrocken or Stacey Angel or Tex Gaines?
I've recently just started talking to Stacey Angel on Facebook. We just actually were friends this week. I've talked to a few, but mainly Steve Uashak. He's the one that I've dealt with the most in RCW, just because I don't really know that many other companies. I'm still kind of new to Alberta as well, so I've only been here for 5 years.
Yeah, so have you put any have you got any kind of like a plan of action? Like, are you gonna buy a ring, or are you gonna just possibly like, are you gonna try and run your own show, like sort of somewhere in the like outskirts, and maybe rent Squig's ring to facilitate it? Or
I'm not 100% sure yet. I would love to have my own ring for sure, but right now, like, that's like such a far distant dream, because I have nowhere to put it. I live in an apartment, right?
So yeah, they're expensive too.
Yeah, they really are. And the upkeep, and then, you know, getting them around. There's a lot of things I have to do.
And that's just with the upkeep of the ring, right? Like, that's not even talking about promoting the fucking show. Like,
exactly. Like, one of those things is like, oh man, the one we have at the AWA, it's like they've been trying to get it going for months, and they just had problems with the poles because they're bending in too much with the tension of the ropes, right?
Oh, okay.
So, like, constantly having to fix them and reinforce them and all these different tricks so they're not bending in so much. And it's like, we still don't have that fix, but it's really close to it.
I think they're using the same ring that I began training in. It was the ring that Andrew Hawks had set up in his backyard for a while. I would assume that they've done some like maintenance on it and stuff since then, because I know it was sitting in Vic's yard for some time.
We fixed that one up really good when it came in. There was like, oh geez, there's a huge dip in the middle of it.
Yeah, our biggest issue was always that the boards would, like, we would go to like Lowe's or whatever and just buy the big flat long, like, not the long like 2x4s, but the just the big like platforms, right? And then every once in a while, it was me and a guy named Suki, who was about your size. He was called the Canadian Grizzly. He might have been taller than you were, but he's a big boy, right? And then Andre the Giant, Gunnar the Pagan Destroyer, you know, homeboy who fell out of the ring?
Big.
Yeah, it was me, him, and Suki and Andrew Hawks training. So every once in a while, like, you know, once a week or so, Andre would slam somebody, or, you know, somebody would slam Andre, and the friggin' ring would break, the board would break, and we'd have to go buy more boards, right?
Oh yeah, for sure.
That was.
We went through a couple of boards. There's this other kid there. His name's Randon. He wrestles under Ronald Reynolds, and like me and him are the only ones that can pick each other up. We're like, and well, there's one other guy who can pick us up, but Yeah, mainly me and him beat each other up, and there's one time where I body slammed him, and he's just like, yep, I just broke the ring. He was like lying there. It's like I felt it break underneath me. Other than that, it was my back.
It's a thing that happens, though. Like, I remember I've been on shows, like, or not on shows, but I've helped at shows in Victoria. I remember there was a big show, and like Vid Vane was on the show, and he did this. He had this cool move that he did where he like grabbed a guy in a fallaway slam and then spun their legs out and gave him a rock bottom. And that was like his big finishing move. And then after the after the show, we're taking the ring apart, and that ring did have the 2x4s, and there was like 3 2x4s in the middle that were just broken and cracked all the way down to the floor. I was like, oh,
just smash.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That was my very first finisher that you just talked about.
Oh, the follow-away slam into a like rock. Yeah, I used to use that one back in, like, when I was, like, just basically doing backyard wrestling with my friends. I called it the Waffle Cyclone because I was, like...
me and my buddy actually changed it up because it ended up always looking like he would DDT me.
Yeah.
So, like, we switched it where I would do a fucking flip bump, and it looked like I went to do something, and he DDT'd me, and, you know... And it was one of our best spots
in the backyard days when I was doing backyard wrestling, which was horrible. I'm not gonna like condone backyard wrestling or anything. Like boys will be boys, and we were just having fun. It wasn't like we were doing anything like super crazy dangerous.
Don't try this at home. But if you do, just don't jump off your balconies. Okay,
be careful. Don't hit yourself in the head with anything.
Yeah,
don't pile drive people. But, like, yeah, that move, like you're saying, like, if instead of just, like, landing flat and you do a roll with it, it looks like the guy DDT'd you. Yeah, that was one of the counters.
Yeah.
You'd go for it, and then instead of just flat out, you just do a roll, and, oh, you got DDT'd. Cool. So the ring would break and stuff. But so you've got this other big fella there, Rhino Reynolds?
Yeah, he's really big. He's way bigger than me. He's like about like a half a foot bigger than me, maybe. And like he's got like 50, 60 pounds on him. He's a big football playing boy.
Have you considered like joining up and becoming like a big man tag team or something?
Kind of. We were talking about it, but it's like I think me and him would be better as opponents. Like, because he has more of a baby face look, you know, he's really clean cut and really, you know, looks like a baby face, and I just look like a dirtbag.
so your character is like a heel character then, eh?
Yeah, I'm a total heel. That's what I was born to do.
Solid. Can you talk about a little bit, like we're just talking about characters now. I mean, I noticed that the AWA, Alberta Wrestling Academy, had a bunch of like promo videos going up online. Can you talk about like the process, like how you were assigned promos, what sort of guidance you were given, and like and whose decision was it to like make everything public like that? Like,
well, it kind of just started with when I won Breakout Star of the Year for 2020 for RCW.
Oh, congratulations, which,
you know,
buddy.
Thanks to everyone who voted. Sorry?
Congratulations, brother.
Oh, thanks, man.
I think I won one of those awards, too.
Did you?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think I voted for you on one of those. I can't remember which one it was.
I was the most popular wrestler.
I think it was, and yeah, you walked away with that one. I cut a promo, just, you know, kind of being me, my character. And, I guess it inspired, my coach to, you know, Vinnie Fever to, start a promo competition within the school. And, the first round we did, you know, just kind of our own thing. And, he was looking for ideas for the second round. And I was like, dude, we should do like recreate a promo for the second round.
Mm-hmm.
So he took like all these famous promos that people had done, and you kind of had to recreate it as your character, you know. Yeah. And I was lucky. I got CM Punk, and he's one of my favorite of all time. So
100%. He is one of my favorite promos ever, for sure.
Oh yeah, I got pipe bomb, and I was like, well, if I got pipe bomb, I'm gonna do it good. So, and if you check it out, it's on the AWA, you know, Facebook page and the videos.
So did and, were the videos, like, did he end up giving you guys any critiques on them, telling you, like, what was good about them, what was bad about them, you know?
Absolutely. Like, yeah, because, well, before they posted, you have to send them through to him, and he'll be like, okay, so if it didn't work, he'll be like, you got to do this, you know, this is something that you need to work on, or change this, because it's not like you, or it's not in your character to do something like that, you know, things like that. And that was really helpful. And he did that with everyone in that competition. There's like 17 people in that competition.
What kind of like, when you guys just did your first promos, was it just like, okay, everybody just cut a promo, or were you guys given any, like,
essentially,
like, did he say, okay, make sure you stick to, like, your, what did he give you time or anything?
No, he just he told us to not make it too long, essentially, but
yeah,
just to essentially address God, what do we have to do in the first round? I think it was just essentially most people calling me out for my promo.
right, yeah. Okay, cool. And so who do you think had the best promos?
Sorry?
Who do you feel had who had some of your favorite promos other than yourself?
I really like Davey Disaster. He's really good on the mic, and he's really hardworking too in the ring. A really good guy all around. I like TJ Cannons. He's really, really, really good on the mic. He's good in the ring too. It's just like, I think he's got lots of character. You know, like, I see a lot of good character in him.
Yeah,
he's a really interesting kid, and like, he's already picked up a win within like four matches.
Yeah, TJ Cannon, he's the fellow that has like the Shawn Michaels sort of tights, right?
Yeah, like HBK style.
Yeah, like kinda. The Shawn Michaels sort of heart pants or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, he's another huge Shawn Michaels fan. There's a lot of them at the gym.
So far out of the Alberta Wrestling Academy, you've been on shows. Rhino Reynolds, The Virus, TJ Cannon. Who else from the Alberta Wrestling Academy has already been on shows?
Yep. Those few of us, we've done a few shows, and then everyone else has like contributed in some way. If they're not working security or doing camera, they're helping with tear down and everything, and or some people even help with sound, you know, they'll do the music or whatever for the night.
Solid.
Which usually is a disaster, but
is Danny Savage, is he one of the trainees?
He's not training, but he's kind of an associate. He like does like a lot of graphic design for us, and he's our mascot is the best way to say it. He's like, he's just such a hype guy, you know?
Okay. Yeah, because he's done the music a few times.
Yeah, he's at like every show, and he's always got like his belts, and you know, he's a loud fan, and he's done a lot of really nice stuff for us. He's done some really good designs for me, and like, he does a lot of the graphic art for us, and just like a lot of stuff. He's just so much stuff.
He seems like a really good dude for sure.
He is. He's really nice. I enjoy Danny Savage quite a bit.
Awesome possum. So of everybody at the you've got you know, at the Alberta Wrestling Academy for trainers is Vinny Fever, Jordan Aries, Ed. Does Ed train guys?
Yeah.
And then you got Steve Rivers and Steve Wilde, right?
Yep. Steve Wilde is, he puts you through a workout, my friend.
He's great though. Like, even that thing you were talking about earlier about like communicating in the ring through like body language and stuff. I wrestled Steve Rivers, or not Steve Rivers, Steve Wilde. I've wrestled Steve Rivers as well, but I wrestled Steve Wilde. Actually, it was the second to last show we did, And basically, okay. It was like, okay, I walked up, is like, what do you want to do out there tonight? And he was like, oh, we'll sort of figure it out in the ring. I was like, okay, cool. Like, we had a couple of little things planned, but for the most part, it was just went out there and called it all in the ring, right? So
yeah.
And like guys like Steve Wilde that are able to do that are so valuable, because like when you can get through a match doing it that way, it definitely it gives you a little bit of like you get a little bit of an extra rush from it, because it's like it's not only did you go out there and execute the routine well, you guys came up with the routine, executed it. And it went off well, you know? Like, it's got that little extra thing to it where it's like, okay, you it's an improv sort of high, you know? When I was a kid, I was always in improv a lot, and I played a lot of improv games, and I think that it's completely invaluable in professional wrestling. Improv performing experiences, like if you're in high school and you're like a kid and you're listening to this and you're thinking about getting into wrestling, like I highly, highly recommend, like get into improv. You'll learn about characters and stuff like that, and you'll learn how to flow and like how to, you know, riff with someone. And yeah, it works like that in the ring, you know? Too, right? Like there's a lot of rules to improv and wrestling where, you know, when it is one of those situations where you go to the ring and it's like, okay, we're going to call it in the ring tonight. There is like one guy in charge, and like, just like in improv, when you're doing a scene with somebody, you can't just start going no to all their suggestions, right?
Like, yeah, exactly. You gotta go with something. You know?
Yeah. So it's a valuable skill to have in professional wrestling.
No, absolutely. And like I really appreciate the time that I had in high school doing improv. Thank you. Whose line is it anyway?
Yeah, and I mean, not to mention, like, it's really fun. Like, improv is a lot of fun.
So much fun.
And I think that's one of the reasons
I got to do in there. Oh,
like wrestling is, I think, so much fun too. So I think those sort of things, like I say, there's just that like little extra high when you're like, not only did you guys go out and you had a fun match, but like you didn't really know what you're gonna do when you went out, you know, and you still had fun. So like that's always a cool thing. Skyler, we've been going for about an hour and a half if we count the podcast of absolute rambling nonsense that we recorded before this. But so I just want to give you a little bit of time here, maybe plug your social medias and stuff. Let us know if there's going to be any projects that you're going to be involved in the near future that people can check out or whatnot.
Oh, absolutely. Well, right now, the thing that I'll be doing is we're doing another promo competition coming up. So if you look at the Alberta Wrestling Academy Facebook page, basically anything that I do from right now will be there because, there's nothing going on, right?
So. Yeah. Yeah, so have you got any details about the promo competition? Do you know what you're going to do?
Not 100% yet. We are supposed to find out information today, which, you know, I might have while I was doing this podcast. But it should be, I think, in my opinion, I told them we should just do 100% care, like being ourselves in this one instead of... you know, trying to recreate, we try to build ourselves up. But I also had the challenge that no one use any whiteboards because you can't bring a whiteboard to the ring, you know?
Were people using whiteboards during their promos?
Sometimes, you know, for like really long ones when they had like...
Yeah, see, that's like...
Really long ones.
Like, I think that you guys probably should have all been told, like, hey, keep your shit under 2 minutes, you know?
Well, yeah, if you can't remember lines for sure, but, like, I memorized that whole freaking pipe bomb thing. Like,
oh, you mean whiteboards as in somebody is, like, as in cue cards, like, they're reading? Okay, I thought you meant, like,
like,
they had a whiteboard and they were, like, teaching a class during their promo or something. I was like, what is that? No. I want to watch this one where they're using a
whiteboard. If you want the whiteboard, you have to use it in the promo.
Okay, I get what you're saying now. Cue cards, that's a completely... Yeah. Okay, all right.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like, I can understand if you're like doing like a non-live segment, but if you want to be the big dog or if you want to be the top guy, you got to learn to run a good promo, right? Because you got to go out there and not just be able to wrestle. You got to be able to talk to the fans.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to be able to do promos for sure. I like doing them too. I enjoy it.
Me too.
It's a lot of fun, but it is one of those things where I like a lesson I learned was just keep your shit under 2 minutes, because it's so easy to just start rambling on and then people just get lost or whatever. And like, of course, you as the person cutting the promo, you're going to be invested for 8 minutes if you sit there and cut an 8 minute monologue, right?
Yeah.
And you'll go back and you'll watch it and you'll be like, okay, cool, I'm following this. But then, you know, as somebody who's like, if you're completely like not related like to this person or whatever, like you watch it and it starts rambling on like that, eventually you just kind of lose interest and probably turn it off, unless it's amazing, which I mean,
oh, for sure.
Like, I mean, like everybody, like no offense to anyone at Alberta Wrestling Academy, and I know I speak for myself, like we're not at the level where anyone is cutting absolute groundbreaking, amazing promos, you know?
No, for sure. Like, we're still learning, right?
Yeah, I'm not trying to shit on anyone around here or anyone there. No. I'm just saying, like, yeah, just like a valuable piece of information that I was taught was just keep it, you know, brief.
Yeah, like, you know, kiss it. Keep it simple, stupid.
There you go, bud. Anyway, so your social medias, bud. Let's get those out of the way.
My social media?
Yeah, you got the Instagram. What's your handle on Instagram?
I'm Skylar Gray on Facebook. I don't have Instagram or Twitter yet.
Okay.
I know it's kind of an essential thing once you start, you know, trying to promote yourself and get out there.
I have to get better at it. I've noticed lately, I'm like, I just, like, especially these last couple of months, like, I'm posting on Facebook, like, seldom, very seldom lately, very seldom. And, like, even doing stuff, like, I'm just putting up pretty much just doing podcasts, and then once in a while, like, I think today I shared a Valentine's Day meme. But,
like, I'm on Facebook more than I should be, but, you know,
oh yeah, no. I've read some of your Facebook stuff. I can tell that you drink while you're on Facebook.
I'm quite outspoken, I guess you could say.
I don't know. I like it though. I find it entertaining. It's all
good. Yes. Some of the stuff I say on there, you know, like that's another reason why I probably will never get hired by WWE. Not just because I'm fat and out of shape and old, but the things I say on Facebook.
Well, I mean, those are all, like, things you can do stuff about, right? Like, you say, like, just go train hard, work hard, eat right, you'll lose weight and stuff. And then, like, you can't really do anything about your age. You're old.
Yeah, right.
Like, you don't have to be old and decrepit.
No, I can still move in the ring, you know, and, like, I'm happy about that. Like, I'm not even, like I said, I'm not putting that pressure on myself either.
Only 35 years old. You're not that old. You're younger than some guys.
Yeah.
Younger than me.
DDP was this age when he started, so.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely one of those things that you have to remember is DDP started late, so there's no reason why, you know, if you don't work hard, you can't make something of yourself. You know, and that doesn't necessarily mean you'll be in the WWE or whatever, but there's no reason why if you don't work hard, like, well, I mean, that's the only reason, like, if you don't work hard, that's the reason where you won't make anything of yourself. Like, but like, if you do work hard.
Well, yeah,
and
exactly. That's improve, number one.
Like, you know, you will get opportunities, like, and it'll be cool for you. And I mean, I'm at that stage in my career where some cool things are just starting to happen where people are, you know, I've had opportunities. I was supposed to go and wrestle in Winnipeg earlier this year. I unfortunately got injured and I wasn't able to go. But like just to have that opportunity. And then there was a show booked in Saskatchewan I was supposed to be on, but that one got shut down due to COVID. So, like, a couple of things like that, but it's like, you know, those sort of things are kind of starting to happen for me. So, like, I'm looking forward to getting back in there and training and working hard and, you know, doing better too, so that, you know, everything is going to be cool in the future. And but the thing I'm looking forward to the most is just to wrestling again, to the,
you know, see,
being around my friends, you know, having a good time, entertaining people, you know, busting a sweat, you know,
that sense of community,
getting cheered on, and you know, the whole thing is just a real rush and a good time from top to bottom, for sure.
Oh, 100%. It's like my favorite thing in the world.
Well, let's end on this note, Skylar. Is there anyone in Alberta that you are really hoping you'll have the opportunity to wrestle? Give me three names in Alberta that you would like to wrestle before the end of 2021.
Well, I really want to wrestle D. Dwight Davis. He's been one of my number ones that I've wanted to wrestle for a few years. You're up there. I want to definitely wrestle you before the year's out. And let's see, who else? Oh, Dead Zone. I really want to wrestle Dead Zone.
Dead Zone? Oh.
Yeah.
I've wrestled him a bunch of times. Don't tag team with him. He's a dickhead.
He is. He's a complete dickhead, but he's hilarious. And, you know, I really enjoy. He gives good advice, too.
Just wear a cup. You're going to wrestle him. Wear a cup. Fuck you. Right. Homeboy low blowed me during one match four times. And then on the
four times?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not even. Like, it wasn't like four times rapidly in a row or anything, but it was four times during the same match. And I remember after the fourth one, I'm down there, I'm cupping my balls, I'm looking up at the referee, and I'm like, you were the shittiest referee in wrestling.
Do something. Yeah. I'm going to be sterile soon.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that Dead Zone's, you know, the Dead Zone hitting me in the balls with the most action I got all last year. Happy Valentine's Day from Monday Night Shaw, y'all. We're signing off on that note. Okie dokie. Skylar, thank you so much for joining me on the show tonight, bud.
Yeah, absolutely. No problem.